All right, guys, we are about to get going. So really quick, you guys can take a seat. We are going to be doing something a little bit different. So if you're in the back, come sit down. If you're senior team, sit down somewhere for now. We are going to take a quick pause on our Sermon on the Mount series to do what we love to call a 320 night. So if you were here last semester in the fall, that was the night where we talked about our three things that we want to continually be praying for. That's self, campus, and nations. And so all under the banner of Ephesians 3:20, which says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us." So this night is going to function a little bit different than normal college gatherings, but it is going to be a good time. Amen? So I'm going to pray in just a second. Emily is going to lead us in our first little teaching block. We're going to come up, sing some songs. We're going to have a few other people speak tonight. Does that sound good? Does that sound good, y'all? Okay, let's pray. Lord, we love you. God, we are grateful for you. We just ask, God, that you would be here, that Lord, you love your people. You love your people. You desire a relationship with us. And beyond just saving us to neutrality, God, you desire to use us for your glory. That everything that we are looking for is found in you, Jesus, and being obedient to the things that you've asked us to be obedient to. And so, God, help us to do that tonight. Help us to take a step of faith tonight. Help us to evaluate ourselves tonight. Help us to see ourselves as sent kingdom warriors for your glory. So God, what you do tonight, would you just let it ripple out onto our campuses and into our world for your glory and for our joy? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. Hey, guys. Like Cody said, my name is Emily, if we haven't gotten a chance to meet yet. And I serve on staff with the college ministry here at Redeemer. And I'm really excited for tonight because as much as I love our normal Tuesday night rhythms, I think that there is value in disrupting them from time to time. Every once in a while, we want to actually pull you out of your normal routine because the last thing that we want is for you to grow stagnant in your walk with Jesus. And so by stopping and giving you time and space to reflect, we hope that you can see what God has done in your life in the past and that it increases your faith and your love for him as you reflect on what you want God to do in the future. And so the roadmap for tonight is going to have over it as kind of like a banner, the idea of asking God to do far more, which is something that we get from Ephesians 3, 20 through 21, which says this: "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So we're going to look at what that looks like to ask God to do far more than we can imagine in three different contexts: self, campus, and nations. And if those categories kind of perked up your ears a little bit, I'm really glad about that because these categories have been guides for us this past year as we have prayed and asked God to do far more than we know to ask for or can imagine. We want to see God work in ourselves, on our campus, and in the nations, and by his grace, he has. And so what we're going to do tonight is have three different people speak on each of these areas with a time of reflection and worship in between each of them. And when you walked in, you should have had three different colored note cards on your seat. And what we would like for you to do with each of those is to write a prayer for each area on the corresponding note card. So the blue card will be your prayer for yourself, the yellow is for campus, and the green is for the nations. And after each teaching, we'll give you some time to reflect on what you want to ask God to do in each of those areas, and then just write that prayer on that card. And then we have baskets at the front and the back of the room that you can put those note cards in. You can see on the screens there's a little diagram that I made on Canva. But we're going to have baskets there that you can put those note cards in as an act of faith and submission to God to do what you're asking him to. And then lastly, just like we do every week, we are going to have our prayer team at stations all around the room ready to process and pray with you at any time. So with all of that said, let's jump in. In this first section, what I will be talking through is self. So what do you want God to do in your own life? And as I was praying about what God would want me to share with you all tonight, he brought to mind this passage from Galatians 5, 16 through 25, and it will be on the screens beside me. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, and I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Yeah, some of you got that. Thanks be to God, right? This is a beautiful passage. To me, it's probably one of the most striking passages in all of Scripture, in which you get this list of these vices, these things that are fleshly and worldly, and it's contrasted with this list of incredible virtues. And at first glance, it probably seems pretty simple, like just avoid one list and pursue the other. But Paul, who's the author of this letter, his point is actually much deeper. Because the fruit of the Spirit isn't a checklist, but it's the natural result of God's Spirit working inside of you. And so for those of you who grew up in the church, or maybe if you ever attended Vacation Bible School, you probably have the fruit of the Spirit memorized, or you know like a cute little song to remember all of them. Most Christians could probably list the fruit. But this list of fruit, this list of virtues, is so much more than things that we should just try to be. So when Paul is communicating to the Galatian church here, it's not just a list of things to do or not do, but he's communicating that through the metaphor of fruit on a tree, that abundant life is only possible from God. This fruit comes from God. It comes from being rooted in the right spot, and it's the Spirit's fruit. But the Spirit has not come just to give you one or two here or there, but to give you all of it. We're not talking about the fruits of the Spirit, but it's a singular fruit. You get all of it or you get nothing. And so what this means is that the Spirit is all about making you the real deal. The Spirit is all about going beyond what you do to why you do it. It's what we've been talking about all semester long in the Sermon on the Mount. Why are you kind? Like, what is behind that? Are you just afraid that people won't like you? Because that is actually self-concern. That's not real kindness. But the Spirit is all about coming in you and changing everything all the way down to the core of why you live the way that you do. When I was 12, I first started following Jesus after hearing the gospel at summer camp. And I remember looking at this list of fruit and thinking like, man, I got a lot of these. Like, I'm doing pretty good. And like, all of a sudden, God had literally and radically changed my heart in a way where I had joy when I had never had joy before. I had peace in a way that I had never dreamed of having before I met Jesus. But after a little while, a few years go by, and I began to realize that I really didn't have as many of these in my life as I would have liked. And so to fix that, I began to fake it. I said, okay, so I'm supposed to be kind, so I'm just going to be kind to everyone because I was afraid of what people thought of me. And I guess I have to be faithful because people hate people who aren't faithful and I don't want to be hated, so I guess that I should just be faithful. And I tried so hard to just will myself to have the fruit of the Spirit, but it all fell apart because fruit doesn't grow from striving, it grows from the Spirit. And so to do this work, God has to begin with an honest heart, not with someone who's faking it. So do you have an honest heart? God has to begin there. And so where it comes now is what God's teaching me in this season is kindness and joy. He is teaching me, like, this is what it looks like to have joy that is real. This is what it looks like to be kind, not because you want other people to like you, but because I am motivating kindness in you. And this is what Paul calls godliness. These are the things, this list is what Paul says is godly. It's the fruit of the Spirit, the consequences of letting God work in your heart. But the next question we need to ask, though, is why do we need this fruit? And for that, I want to take us back to verse 1 of this chapter. It says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." So Paul is clear here. There are two kinds of slavery. Slavery to always having to do the right thing to earn your righteousness, or slavery of always living according to your flesh and your desires. And he says you're not going to find godliness in either of those. You're not going to find freedom in either of those. So the point is this, the fruit of the Spirit is righteous, it is godly, but at its very essence, it's freedom. And here's why you need all of this. Because in our culture, we are always trying to define freedom. Every single day in legislature, we're trying to figure out what does freedom actually mean? And every day in culture, we're asking, what does freedom actually look like? And currently in America, we're kind of going with this definition. Freedom is being able to do whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want. Culturally, that is what we are calling freedom. But in the scriptures, we see that that's not actually true. In the scriptures, Jesus hasn't come to enhance our lives as an add-on. Jesus has come to give you an entirely new life altogether, to change your desires altogether, and to reframe for you what you define as freedom. Freedom is becoming the way that you were made to be by God, not living in the sinful mess that you have always been. It's a paradigm shift, and it's kind of provocative for us because deep down inside, don't we really know that there are things at the very core of who we are that just aren't right? Like the way that we treat people that we love or that we claim to love, the way that we go about our business, they all stem from these things that are deep inside of us. The way that we do relationships and friendship, and it bubbles to the surface, and you just have this overwhelming feeling of, oh my gosh, like I have to change. And here's what Jesus would say to you. Through the Holy Spirit, you can change. And for a lot of us, I think that we look at this vice list and we go, like, my life is a whole lot more like that than it is these virtues. It's way more like that. But Christ has come to make you alive tonight, not sometime in the future, but to make you alive right now. When God wants to bring us alive again, he actually breathes on the faces of his disciples and he says, receive the Holy Spirit, because this is all about making dead people live life to the fullest. So why do you need it? Because isn't there a little voice inside of you saying, this can't be it. This can't be life to the fullest. There has to be something more. And that something more is the Spirit of God and his fruit. That is what you want. That is why you need it. So lastly, how do you get it? How do you get this fruit? And as the band comes out, I want to remind you of how Paul ends this passage of scripture. He says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So how do you get it? How do you get this life? You say yes to the Spirit. It's that simple. Don't quench the Spirit. Or in other words, don't give yourselves to other spirits, such as consumerism or alcohol or power or money or sex, but be filled with the Spirit of God. This year, my 3/20 prayer for myself is to be Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, and Spirit-dependent. So we can see that there are really two ways of living that are fairly opposite from each other, but can burden your life with a heavy yoke and drive you into the ground. One way is always trying to do the right thing and be the right person and be a good person all out of your own strength. And that's called striving. And the other way of living is by never doing anything right at all or caring what's right or just doing whatever you want based upon your desires. And that's called apathy. And I don't know where you are on that spectrum tonight, but I think that Jesus wants you to know that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And I believe that this is what Jesus is beckoning for all of us and for me, to take his yoke upon our shoulders, to drop the legalism, to drop the loose living, because his yoke is the Spirit of God changing you from the inside out. That is his yoke. It's God beating in our heart and coursing through our veins and whispering to us, don't get caught up in striving. Don't live in apathy. Remember Jesus, my yoke, that is my Spirit. And when you take up that yoke, you're going to find something sprouting up within you that looks a lot like patience. And something that looks a lot like love for others when you had none before. Something that gives you joy when everything else says that you shouldn't have it. Something that makes you look more like King Jesus than you ever thought possible. And all of this is with this aroma of the fruit of the Spirit. And so here's what I want you to reflect on as the next few songs are playing. There will be some questions on the screen for you to reflect on. Is my life marked more by the works of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit? Is there a work of the flesh that has been driving my life? Confess this to God and repent. And lastly, how do I want the Holy Spirit to change my heart to look more like Jesus? And as a reminder, the blue note card that was on your seat when you came in tonight is for you to write down a prayer of how you want God to do far more in yourself than you can ask or imagine. So as you're reflecting on these three questions, just take a second to write down that prayer while we worship.
Amen. Hey, Redeemer College. My name is Johnny. So grateful to be with y'all. If we haven't met, I work on the college team with College Outreach, and man, just so honored to be here and to get to serve on this team. And again, if we haven't met, please come up to me after the service. I'd love to get to know you. If this is your first time here, or if you're a regular, surprise, right? This is not what we normally do. It's a little bit different, but I promise you they're not all like this, even though they are all pretty lit. But we do think it's so important to step out of our everyday rhythms once in a while and center our hearts on prayer and to focus on God's word for our lives. And so tonight, Emily already kind of laid out the night for us, but we are going to be asking God to do so much more, to do far more in our lives, on campus, and in the nations. Emily shared a little bit of what it looks like to pray that what for God to do more in our lives. So I get the privilege to share what it looks like for us, Redeemer College Ministry, to pray that God would do far more on our campus. And so before we hop in, before I pray, I think it's only right that we like read this passage again. So it's gonna be Ephesians 3:20, it'll be right there. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever, amen. And I actually think it's only fit that we say that together, actually. So would y'all join me real quick? Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever, amen. Let me pray. God, you are good. Lord, thank you for Tuesday nights. God, we pray that you would just be here. Holy Spirit, would you come into this room and dwell with us? Would you convict hearts? Would you stir us up, Lord, to follow you and to love you more? God, would we leave tonight having a greater vision and love and desire to see you move in our lives, but elsewhere, on campus and in the nations as well? God, would you be with us? Amen. Cool. Well, a little vibe change, but I want to take a little poll for us real quick, okay? I can't see you, so I'm going to need to hear you. So we're gonna do this, okay? I'm gonna ask you, if you are from Texas Tech, okay, don't say anything right now, but on the count of three, I'm gonna need you to give me the loudest Reckum that you can, okay? Right? All right, on the count of three, Reckum, okay? Y'all hear me? Y'all with me? What? Y'all are college students, y'all know. 3, 2, 1. Reckum! All right, love it. Now, what am I gonna say next, right? If you go to Lubbock Christian University, I need y'all to be proud, okay? On the count of three, I need you to give me a good old peckum, okay? I know. All right. 3, 2, 1. Woo, let's go. We hear you. Flybirds. And lastly, yes. All right, we got one more. And I need you to be bold.
All right, I know there's a couple of y'all in here. I need you to be bold. I will say this to my South Plains friends. I Googled what y'all say, and I couldn't find anything. And I promise you, I did try. So give me a yeehaw. We're in West Texas. And more. 3, 2, 1. Yeah! Woo! Hey, let's give it up for South Plains College. We love you, South Plains. Woo! Okay. That was fun. So the reason for the poll is because we can come to College Gathering and we can know our people and it can feel like it's all tech people, right? Or maybe it's just, hey, it's me and my LCU people and that's it. That's who I hang out with. Or for my South Plains people, maybe you don't even acknowledge you're in South Plains. I'm not even saying that in the sense of it's just easier to like say you go to college. I'm just saying that's an actual reality. But the reason I bring up the poll is because I want us to realize the battle we're fighting right now isn't just for one campus. It's for three. Now, each university, each campus might have its own unique like complications and problems and stuff, but they all share this thing in common. There are people on your campus who do not know Jesus, and they are desperately looking for him elsewhere in other things. There are people on your campus right now who do not know Jesus, and they are looking for him anywhere else but church. But what's interesting about that is we can maybe turn a blind eye, because right now there is actually something happening in the waters of universities in America. Like, I don't know about y'all, but I've been on campus a little bit, and there have been some crazy things that are not common that are happening on campus. Like, you don't come to Lubbock, Texas for college and expect to go to a church on Sunday filled with college students and two overflow rooms and people coming back to the 11 o'clock because the 9:45 is packed, right? You don't go to Lubbock, Texas to do that. You go to Lubbock, Texas for other things. But that's happening right now, and we can all see it. Some people, they're calling this revival, right? Now, personally, I'm just really slow to call things and label things. If you wanna call it revival, by all means. But what I will say is we are seeing a movement. We are seeing a stirring happening in Lubbock that's not just, it's unique to Lubbock, but it's actually happening across the nation. Like something's happening, and I think we can all feel it. And as a ministry, we actually started praying this 3:20 prayer about a year and a half ago. And again, I've just seen in just one semester, I've seen more, like God do more things than I've seen in all my 4 years of college. Maybe that's your story, right? Maybe you've seen the Lord do so much more in your life in the past 5 weeks of school than you have in your entire whole life, right? Maybe you came to Tech or LCU or South Plains thinking that you were going to be alone. You were going to be just the only Christian. You weren't gonna have Christian friends. You're gonna have to figure it out, right? And now you've found community. You found friends, people that love you, that you love, and you've experienced Christ through those people, and you wouldn't trade the world for your experience that you've had in college. Or maybe you weren't a Christian when you came to Lubbock. That was my story. Came to Lubbock thinking, man, I was just gonna have a great time, never stepped foot in a church, and that was gonna be it. And then God radically changed my life 2 weeks into college, and I came to know him through reading the Bible with a person, and my entire college experience looked differently. Maybe that's your story. Maybe you're like, yeah, I came to Lubbock fully expecting to party, all the other things, and now I'm sitting in church on Tuesday listening to somebody talk about Jesus. And hear me say this. Those are good things. Like, we have been praying for your current reality of what you are experiencing, God, for the past year and a half. And my prayer is that you actually keep experiencing those things. But here is the reality that needs to sit with us. As we experience the Lord's favor and his grace upon us, we have to allow this to sit with us. In Lubbock right now, there are about 10 college ministries. They're about, I'm talking about the ones that are pretty well known, have a good regular attendance, not including one-off Bible studies or things like that that aren't connected to local churches or parachurches. But amongst those 10 college ministries, there's an estimated amount in attendance, about 30 or 3,500 college students, which is like awesome. Honestly, like that is a huge deal. That is probably more college students who know Jesus and are like connected to a local church than there has been in a very long time in Lubbock. We should celebrate that. Amen? Amen. There we go. Y'all know there's a butt coming, right? But we can celebrate that. But there are 41,000 college students at just Texas Tech alone. That's not including LCU. That's not including South Plains. That's not including the college-aged young adult who's just trying to figure it out. And my point is that I'm actually so glad that we are experiencing God's grace and his favor on us in this room. Like, that is my prayer. That is what I work for. That is what I want. That's what the whole college team wants, is for you to experience God in this room and with the people around you in other people's homes and in your personal life. But we cannot be satisfied with being the only ones at the table. Brothers and sisters, we cannot be satisfied with being the only ones at the table. There are still over 30,000 college students in Lubbock who need to know the gospel and follow Jesus. So what do we do? There's two things, two responses. There's this quote by Dr. A.T. Pearson, old pastor and writer. He once said this: "There has never been a spiritual awakening in any country or locality that did not begin in united prayer." Let me say that. There has never been a spiritual awakening in any country or locality that did not begin in united prayer. Our first response is to get on our knees and pray. That is the whole point of this night, to call on God and to save the lost. And when I think about this, let me like encourage you with this thing that all this phrase and this idea that always encourages me, that God wants to save Texas Tech, he wants to save LCU, and he wants to save South Plains more than I do. He wants to save Texas Tech, he wants to save LCU and South Plains more than you do. He wants to reach your fraternity, your sorority, your classmate, that high school best friend that came with you to Tech who doesn't follow Jesus, your brother, your sister. He wants to reach all of them more than you do. John Tyson, he's a pastor in New York. He says this, that God comes where he's wanted. And you can leave that up there, but what we are trying to help you understand is this: prayer works. Prayer works. And that this concept of revival in Lubbock that we're talking about, that we're feeling, that we're actually seeing the stirrings of, is actually very possible, and we might even be on the fringe of it. What would it mean for our city if Redeemer College Ministry as a whole, we came together and prayed daily for our universities to come to know Jesus, but we didn't stop there, but we actually locked arms with our brothers and sisters at The Way, at Southcrest, at Trinity, at The Journey, at Stumo. We locked arms with them, and then we prayed that heaven would meet earth and that the kingdom of God would break through on our campus. What would happen? What would happen? God comes where he's wanted. What if 3,000 college students in Lubbock cried out to Jesus, "Come, we want you in Lubbock, Texas. Pour your Holy Spirit out on us." What if 3,000 college students did that? Do you think God would hear us? God hears you individually. Why wouldn't he hear the 3,000 of us? Why wouldn't he hear the 600 of us in this room? Which then leads us to our next response. We have to move towards others. If you've ever gone to a GC outreach night, which again, they're happening this coming week, so please show up. But if you've ever gone, you will have heard us say this: because God moved towards us, we will move towards others. God, in his infinite wisdom, chose to partner with people to bring forth his kingdom here on earth. Because God moved towards you and changed your life. The joy you are now experiencing right now is because God moved towards you. And now you get to be the instrument in somebody else's life to bring that joy to somebody else. Luke 10:2 says this, And he said to them, that's Jesus, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Notice this. Jesus doesn't say to pray for a harvest, right? You can pray that you should not be in your room saying, God, I don't know any non-Christians. Would you bring a non-Christian into my life? Your harvest is your university. It's your campus. It's the person next to you in your classroom. It's the person in your job. You have a harvest. Redeemer College Ministry, we have a harvest of over 30,000 college students in Lubbock. We don't have enough laborers. We don't have enough laborers. And if you are a follower of Jesus, you are called to be a laborer. 2 Corinthians 5, it's not up there, but we have been given like this identity as ambassadors of Christ. We have been entrusted with this ministry of reconciliation, which means that there are people who are far from God who need to be reconciled with God. And he says we are ambassadors, synonym, laborers. And so we have to be laborers. And what that means is you are called to be a laborer in your sphere of influence. You are here in Lubbock for a reason, and it's not just to get a degree. To pull from John Tyson again, I once heard him say this. It's not a quote. I'm just going to paraphrase from him. But he says, in God's infinite wisdom, he decided that you were the best person to reach the people in your class or in your job. Think about that. Before the beginnings of the earth, before the foundation was laid, God looked into this period of time, saw the people in your classroom, saw the people you worked with, and said, he or she is the best person to reach the people in Eco 2. He or she is the best person to reach them in that job. Find courage in this, that not only is God, he wants us to move towards others, but take courage knowing that God actually believes in you. You can't fail. God believes in you. See, this year as a ministry, we decided that we wanted to truly take these words to heart and become a ministry of laborers. So every Monday and Thursday at noon, we meet together for an hour and we share our faith on campus. It's called, this is a safe place for people who are new to wanting to learn how to share their faith, to learn by watching experienced laborers model it for them. But it's also an opportunity for us who know to be able to share our faith more. And these are this is open to all of y'all. Mondays and Thursdays, free speech area at 12. We call these groups A2 groups, which stands for Acts 2. And if you haven't read Acts 2, I'd encourage you to give it a read, but if you'd allow me to spoil the ending for you, the chapter ends with 3,000 people coming to faith in a single day, and more come to faith day by day. Talk about an abundantly more prayer. And here at Redeemer, we want to see the pages of Acts happen here at Tech's, LCU's, and South Plains campus. Y'all, we're tired of playing defense. We are tired of playing defense. We are playing offense this year. We're making the devil play defense. We're racking up the scoreboard. We are going for it. That's what laborers do. We don't play defense. We go for it. We get in the game. And so I want to end my time with this. I was in Tucson, Arizona this past weekend, visiting one of our church plants. If you don't know, Redeemer, we plant churches collegiately in college towns because we love college students so much. And so we actually planted a church in Tucson, Arizona. They're here, actually. Shout out, Tucson. Woo! Yeah. And they're reaching the University of Arizona, and they are doing an awesome job at it. And so I was visiting their church plant, and I was talking to their lead pastor, and he brings up Ephesians 3:20, without even knowing that was our thing. It's like he reads the Bible or something. But, and he said this to me. He said, isn't it crazy that God says he'll do so much more than we can imagine? Like, that means we can't even, like, think about what he wants to do for us. We can't even think about what he wants to do for us. So Redeemer College Ministry, like, I want to invite you to dream tonight. Like, I want to invite you to dream tonight of, like, man, if you knew you couldn't miss, if you knew that God was behind you, in front of you, to your left, to your right, wanting what you want more than you do, what would you ask? And this is what it looks like for me over the past year and a half. We table on campus. We're out there at the free speech area every Tuesday. And over the past year and a half, we've actually tabled right next to the secular club. They're right there. And we talk to them, we get to know them. My Ephesians 3:20 prayer, by the way, if there's anybody from the secular club, I'm actually really glad you're here. I don't know if you are, but come find me afterwards. It'd be crazy. My Ephesians 3:20 prayer has been that they would have to find a new officer corps because all of them have come to know Jesus. And what's crazy is this past semester, they've moved times. We don't see them anymore. And I felt removed from that situation. But man, if God can do far more than I can ask or imagine, why not keep praying? And so I've actually started to pray that the Lord would show up in their dreams. Like he does it overseas, why not here? I feel removed from this situation, but I don't want to stop. And so that's my Ephesians 3:20 prayer, that God would move in those who hate him the most. So, what is it for you? Is it that person who said they'd never be a Christian? Rest assured, God has a long history of changing the hearts of men and women who hated them, and he turned them into the best laborers. Let me remind you, the author of the majority of our New Testament killed Christians. Is it your fraternity or sorority? God wants them all. There is no Greek life culture that has gone too far God for the grace of God. Have comfort knowing this. The gospel has been preached in every society, every culture, and it conquered all of them. Rome fell. God can reach your sorority. He can reach your fraternity. He can reach that classmate. He can do it all because when the gospel is preached, things happen. Redeemer College Ministry, let us not be satisfied being the only ones at the table. God wants so much more for us. And so I'm about to pray, but before I do, I have these questions for us that we're gonna go through. You can grab your yellow card. And let me say this, over the next two songs, like, we want you to be praying through these questions and spending time with the Lord. And so that you don't actually have to get up and drop them in the basket right now. You can just wait till the end of the service, and as you leave, drop them in there. This time is for you, and so don't feel pressure to get up. But we're gonna read these real quick. And so the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. In your Christian walk, have you seen yourself as a laborer? And if not, ask God to change your heart. Who do you wanna see come to faith this semester? Friend, fraternity, sorority, class group? Lastly, let's pray for revival to come to our campuses. Let's pray that en masse college students in Lubbock would repent and believe the gospel. He hears us. He wants it more. Let's pray. God, Lord, you are so good. Lord, would you be with us, God? Would you hear our prayers, God? You come where you're wanted. Jesus, we want you here. Meet us here tonight, God, and you see every letter, every phrase, every name, every group that is on those cards and that will be, God, and you want them to come and know you. Lord, do it and use us, God. Amen.
Yo, what is up? Y'all might be thinking, who the heck is this random dude up here right now? Come on. For those of you who don't know me, though, my name is Carson Coe. I get the privilege of working here as a mobilizer at Redeemer. And man, if I have... Oh, thanks. That's very generous. If I haven't got to meet you, I would love to meet you sometime. So please come find me after this or some on Sunday or a Tuesday, other Tuesday than tonight, and I would love to get to meet you. Guys, I got the privilege to go to Texas Tech and even got to be in this college ministry really not that long ago. I graduated basically less than a year ago. And so guns up, am I right? Come on. And man, it has been incredible, like so incredible to see how the Lord is using and growing this ministry even in the short year that I've been graduated. man, when I was a freshman, just to give some perspective, we struggled to fill up half of this room, bro. Like, we would put up blockers. Like, we couldn't get that deep. But now, man, week after week, I see this room filled, and it just, man, pumps me up. It gets me juiced. And not only is it cool to see how it has grown, but also cool to see it keeps doing for college students what it did for me. That it shaped me more in the image of Christ, led me to love Jesus more, and sent me out to live my life in a way that would have maximum impact in God's kingdom among all nations. And so, dude, I'm juiced to get to talk with y'all tonight. I'm pumped. And you've already spent time tonight asking the Lord to do far more in yourself, as Emily led through, and time asking the Lord to do far more on your campuses, as Johnny talked about. Now we get to take intentional time to pray for the nations. And man, I want to let you know, the nations, when we say that, what we mean is all peoples over all the earth. You see, I was a freshman in college when I first learned about what I get to share with y'all tonight, and it completely changed the trajectory of my life. I really mean that. And my prayer is that as some of y'all might hear this for the 10th time or the first time, I pray that, man, like, the Lord would move deeply in your heart and do the same for y'all. So after I heard about God's heart and how his heart has always been the same and will always be the same, I knew that I wanted my heart to be aligned with his. He is a global God with a global vision. So we must be global Christians with a global vision. You see, God's heart has been clear from the start and it is woven through every story of Scripture, even so clear that is the whole narrative of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, that God wants his glory to be established in all peoples, in all the earth, for them to come to know and worship him. So I feel that it is only right to start by taking a quick look at three different instances through God's word to see this truth played out. And truly, I wish we had more time. I'd love to take us through like 2 hours worth of the hundreds of verses that showcase God's heart, but we simply just don't got enough time for that. Unless y'all want to be here till 10. Nah, okay, never mind. Well, sweet, the first story we're going to look at is one that is most likely a familiar story for most in here, which is the story of David and Goliath. And here the Israelites are at war with the Philistines. The Philistines were, bro, unbeatable. Like, they were some dogs. They were unbeatable at the time. And in this, the Philistines, they put Goliath up, who's basically their LeBron James, and up for anyone to challenge him. And of course, how we know the story to go, David, a young shepherd boy, steps up, takes him down with one stone. And yes, this story can totally showcase how if we are courageous in the Lord, then the Lord can use us to do some sick stuff. But man, I want to ask, is that the main point of the story? Is that the main reason why God used David to slay Goliath? Let's look at 1 Samuel 17, verse 46 real quick. It says, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." God used David so that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel, that they would know that he is the one and true God. Next, we're going to fast forward to the story of Daniel. And by this point, Daniel has been thrown into the lion's den due to King Darius putting out a decree that all the peoples of the earth were to only bow down to King Darius as Lord. If they didn't, then they were to be thrown in the lion's den to die. Of course, Daniel, man, he's faithful to the true king. He gets thrown in. God shuts the mouths of the lions, and Daniel comes out untouched. King Darius, amazed by this, is like so moved that he puts a new decree to the whole world, which says this in Daniel 6, 25 through 26. It says, "Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, 'Peace be multiplied to you.' I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. Oh, it gets pumped up. Hopefully, we are starting to catch a theme here. Once again, we see that God's purpose in showing his power through Daniel's faithfulness is so that his glory would go into all the earth. We see there, it says, wrote to all the peoples, languages, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth so that they would know and worship God as the one and true God. And so with both David and Daniel, we see that the main point in God doing some really, really, really cool things is so his glory would go to all peoples in all the earth. I know it's getting repetitive, but guys, I want y'all to see it. This isn't just in these two verses. Like, it is flooded throughout the whole Bible. And lastly, I want to go to one of my favorite verses, which is an amazing promise that God gives us in Habakkuk. And in that, it says this, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Guys, I mean, just think about this promise. As the waters cover the seas. Guys, water covers the sea 100%. Like, I'm not no rocket science, but it can't be any other way, you know? And so in that, therefore, if that's the truth, then this verse is telling us that this knowledge of the glory of the Lord, key words, like think of that, knowledge of the glory of the Lord, will be filling the entire earth one day. Come on. Yeah, come on. One day, guys, this promise will be true. And so again, this is what God is after. His heart is that he wants his glory to go forth to all peoples in all the earth for them to know and worship him. Now, the reality is if we were to look at the state of our world today, it is that there are over 3.4 billion people who are unreached with the gospel. I know 3.4 billion people seems like you can't even measure it. It's a ton. But man, like these are people who are unreached. Unreached meaning that these people have little to no access to the gospel. They don't know a Christian. If they even wanted to, there wouldn't even be a church for them to go to. Like, let that sink in. It's devastating. These people will live and die and never get to hear about Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father. If how Jesus has loved us and impacted us individually and saved us has weight in our life, then man, this news should like rock us. We should desperately want them to know the best news ever, that Jesus laid down his life so that they could live in the fullness of life found in Christ that we have gotten to experience. And the reality is God is drawing them to himself. They just need to be told. They just need to be told this truth about Jesus. After Jesus has resurrected, he decides as his final words, his Super Bowl speech to the disciples, to give them what we know as the Great Commission in Matthew 28. And in that, he says, to go and make disciples of all nations. I know it's like, hey, oh, there's that verse again, you know. But guys, this is just not a Redeemer thing. It's not just a Redeemer thing. It's not even a missions thing. Redeemer doesn't have just goers serving among the unreached, that we're students just like y'all in this college ministry because we want to be a cool missions church. Man, we have sent those people and talk about this reality often because this is God's command. And this is for followers of Jesus. Man, like we have no other way. Like we got to be in on this. Hudson Taylor, famous missionary, once said, "This is not a choice to consider, but rather it is a command to obey." Guys, it is not a choice to consider, but rather it is a command to obey. what's beautiful about all of this too is that, man, we want to be obedient to this, and we're not working aimlessly. Like we're not just blindly hoping that someday this is going to happen. We know how the story ends. And so let's read Revelation 7:9 really quick. And man, it gets me fired up every time. Like we are getting a picture of the glory in heaven here. And this is what it says. After this, I looked and behold, a great multitude that no one could number. No one could number. From every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. In the end, the victory is God's. Come on. Think about that. And there will be a representative of every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne and before the Lamb, rejoicing in God's glory. And so with that, guys, like we get to play in a game that is already won. I'm a huge sports guy, so every time I think about this, I think of it as someone has come up to me and told me I get to go play in a basketball game. And like, man, it doesn't matter what I do, we're going to win because it's not on me. And so I get to go pull every shot I want to. I'm like, bro, I'm playing in that game, and I'm pulling from half, bro. Like, it's going to be awesome. In the same light, man. Like, we get to go play in a game that is already won, and there is a greater joy found in that. God doesn't need us. He's going to do it. He's going to see a people from every nation, tribes, people, and language, and all of the earth come to know him. But he wants to use us. He wants to include us in the greater joy of seeing his glory and great love through Jesus' death and resurrection go to all peoples of the earth. And he wants to do it by using us to be the ones to tell him. How beautiful. Man, I was in Nepal a couple years ago. And man, we were just walking around through some villages sharing the gospel, and we stumbled upon one lady who, she was the local Hindu teacher of the village. Hinduism, another religion. And we were in an unreached country. Well, we soon found out that she was dissatisfied with these teachings of Hinduism that she was leading the rest of the village in. And so we told her, I was like, man, hey, we've come to share news that will never leave you dissatisfied. And so we shared the gospel with her. She had never heard it. And her response was, hey, can you stay as long as you can and continue to tell me stories about this man, Jesus? So we stayed as long as we could for the next couple of hours, continued to share story after story, and she ended up placing her faith in Christ. And I don't share that to put any glory to my name, but man, the reality is God is drawing these people to him. Man, we just need people raised up to go and tell him. And so what's your role? What is God calling you to? Here at Redeemer College, we want y'all to play in the game that's already won. Be obedient to Christ's command to go and make disciples of all nations and leverage your life to have maximum kingdom impact in God's kingdom that involves all peoples. And so there are three different paths. If you've been around this college ministry for any time, you've probably heard of these paths, but if not, here they are. We want to use these three different paths that we want to send you in to leverage your life for his glory among the whole earth. And so those are either to go and be an all-in church member and leverage it fully, or be a part of the church planting pipeline by helping plant a church somewhere else here in the U.S., like the Tucson team, or to be a cross-cultural goer that goes to the unreached to reach these people with the best news ever, the news of eternal life that they're desperately waiting for. And so as you graduate, we want you to be sent in one of those three ways. So which one is it? And in this, please, please, like, don't just assume that one of the first two roles is your role. Please don't. Like, man, I want to encourage you to please ask the Lord intentionally where he is leading you in light of his word and his world. Where is he leading you in light that he wants to join and have you join in on this great work to seeing the people who are unreached with the gospel be reached with it? There's a man named Jim Elliot who was a missionary who was killed trying to take the gospel to a tribe who had not yet heard. And his most famous quote was found in one of his old journals. And it stands out to me every time. And here it is. It says, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." He is no fool. Man, we can't keep the things of this world, guys. We can't. But man, I assure you, we will not lose all the things of God. And so would we be followers of Jesus that would give up the things of this world that we cannot keep to join God in what he's doing among the whole earth, among all the nations in which we won't ever be able to lose? I get the picture in Revelation 7:9 with us around our Nepali and Bangladeshi brothers and sisters praising the Lamb in heaven. Man, why not be a part of the work here? He's invited us to be a part of it, and there's a greater joy in it. I want to leave y'all with two things to pray for as we jump back into some prayer time. And just like you've done with the other cards on the green card, I want you to pray for these things. And so the first one is I want you to just ask yourself, are you open and willing to go to the places the gospel has never gone? Ask the Lord to move your heart to be open towards wherever he could be leading you and be leading you for his glory. The second one is, man, pray for the unreached. Luke 10:2 was a verse that Johnny mentioned and said, the harvest is plentiful, yet the laborers are few. It's a reality that there's 3.4 billion people waiting, and we don't have enough laborers to go and share with them. And Jesus' first response is, he says, therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. And so, man, would you first just pray for the unreached? Pray that the Lord would do far more and they would be reached with the gospel, all 3.4 billion, and that more laborers would be sent out to them to share the gospel. And I believe there are some in this room that he's going to do that for. And if you are here and you aren't too sure about Jesus, and this has probably felt like a super in-house kind of thing, I just want you to know that we are so glad you're here. God has shown his great love for you in all peoples, but for you through his son, Jesus, being sent down to live a perfect life on this earth, a life that we can't live, to die and rise again 3 days later so that whoever would believe in him would have eternal life. Jesus loves you so much and wants you to follow him so that you can have the fullness of life found only in him for forever and ever. If you're wanting to talk more about that and talk more about what it looked like to follow Jesus, please talk with a friend that you came with or one of the people around the room that are praying, or find someone with a wooden name tag, and we would love to talk with you. Let's pray.